All right. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity again, Pastor, of teaching God's Word here tonight. Thank you for all here that are here in attendance. We're going to be getting back into the last teaching I gave was on Titus in chapter 1. We're going to get into chapter 2 tonight. there's a lot there. Well, I'm a mechanic, so I went with this. Illustration to start out. You're driving in your car. You got the little red warning light comes on. You know, it tells you something's going on with the car. You know, a little red light on the dash. You pull over into the parking lot or into a service station or something, and pull up the hood. And first thing you do is, you know, hey, what should I look at here? Well, maybe pull the dipstick on the engine and look at and see that the dipstick's dry. You know, it's like, what do you do? It's like, do you think, it's like, well, maybe I'll put some transmission fluid in there and see if I can't fill that all the way back up to the top.
And you're a mechanic?
Yeah. There you go. All right, we're on the right track now, huh? And it's like, some passerby is going by and, you know, he says, oh, what's the matter there? Well, my dipstick's empty. Well, I got some brake fluid in the back. We can fill up you know. where should we go if we have doubts about what we need to add to that engine, which is engine oil? It's like, where do we need to go to when we have doubts about what that pertaining to that car? Yeah, to me, I'm semi-retired. I can tow you in, but I won't. I don't think I'll fix it. Okay. So, anyway, it's like we go to the car's owner's manual, find out what goes in there, even maybe where to add the oil, what kind of oil, you know. The manufacturer, the creator's owner's manual for that car, telling us how to take care of it, telling us how to maintain it, telling us what to do, where to add the oil, what kind of oil, you know, and telling us maybe even what's going on that red light came on and where's the oil going, what to look for maybe. It's in the manufacturer's.
I go to Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, you better be careful. I used to take the people who came out of Walmart. But that's another story. Just as our car's owner's manual gives us sound instruction on what to put in that car, what that car needs, our Creator God has given us His owner's manual, the Bible, filled with true teaching, okay, sound instruction, sound doctrine about what to help us, direct us on living a godly lifestyle, obediently living daily to God's Word with God at the center. Okay? We're going to catch up last month. To catch us up, last month I introduced a letter to Paul, has written to Titus, a Greek believer, Paul's trusted friend and traveling companion. He had left Titus in Crete to set in order the churches, and to start in different cities, and to appoint elders to lead and oversee these churches, hence the book of Titus. We pick up where we left off last month. We're going to pick up on chapter 2, verse 1. And in the first chapter that we read last month, we read what the leadership, what Paul is telling Titus, the leadership in the church should look like. Now, Paul, in chapter 2, is giving Titus instructions on how the body of the church should be looking like, or should I say living and behaving. So let me open with prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for being such an awesome God to us, Lord. Thank you for blessing our lives. Thank you for giving us this word, your words, Lord, in this book, Lord, this instruction manual for us, Lord, your creation. You loved us before the foundation of the earth, and we just thank you for watching over our hearts and our minds, and we just ask you to open our hearts and our minds, especially to your word this evening, Lord. May it just mature us and help us to live more godly in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, let's get started with, I'm going to we're going to read verses, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And that's where we're going to, that's our main point there tonight, sound doctrine. The older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, and in all things yourself, showing yourself, he's talking to Titus, to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And also to exhort our bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not showing all good fidelity, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. Let's go back to verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let's get into a little deeper into, that's where our focus is tonight, sound doctrine. In the Greek, sound, hugiaino, is concerning doctrine, means true, the truth. Okay, and then the second part, doctrine, didaskaleia. I always have trouble with that. That's a good one. Didaskalia means instruction or teaching. True instruction, true teaching, okay? Sound doctrine. But first, I want to take you back to where just to one verse where we had last month on chapter 1. Let's just turn the page over and go back to verse 9. Let me take you back to that one there. Holding fast the faithful word, as has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. Again, here Paul was telling Titus in the first chapter that the elders, overseers he was appointing should be holding fast, again, to the faithful word, so that they may be able to exhort and convict those who contradict, that he was appointing. Exhorting, the Greek is parakaleia. She's parakaleia is to call to one side. Para means near or beside, sort of like parallel, that we get that. And kaleo is to call, to summon. To call to one side. It's sort of, let me exhort you, let me come alongside of you, or you come alongside of me, sort of, hey, I'll take you under my wing, let me teach and preach you these teachings which are true, okay? Let me encourage, let me excite you into following, living out these true teachings, these true doctrines, so that number one, you will see that these true teachings, this sound doctrine, okay, which Paul is telling Titus first, that to how the men should be learning, and then how he should be giving an example to the church, that you will see these true teachings, this sound doctrine, in that what you are aspiring, you're aspiring to live out these qualifications, these qualities to live out in your life, they're being manifested. Okay? He's talking the talk. He's walking the walk. You know? His life is living this out. And number two, God is getting the glory by you living obedient to His word. Okay? Now, if we look back, we'll go back to the chapter 2, the first verse again with sound doctrine. And again, in this chapter, Paul is telling Titus, when he writes about sound doctrine, he is talking about the great basic truths of sound doctrine, the basis of sound true teachings concerning our faith. And I know it sounds kind of weird because you get this, well, these great but basic, you know. And I sort of thought about the way I learned as being a mechanic. There were types of stuff in a car that as a mechanic, once you got to learn all these great truths about how an engine works, how a transmission works, and all that, it was sound teaching that would pass along to all the rest of the parts of an automobile, of how the car was made. And this is the same true concerning our faith, you know. And like, who is God? You know, we need to know to help us discern and be able to understand that this is good, sound, true teaching. Who is God? Who is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Who is Satan? Who is the devil? Is there a heaven? Is there hell? You know, is there who is Jesus, and what is sin? These are our basics to our fundamentals of our salvation. Jesus came to save us. Save us from what? I mean, we need to all know these answers if we're going to call ourselves born again Christians. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, if our lives have now been changed by His Holy Spirit living inside us, His word should be soaking into our brains and our minds and our hearts, so that we know when we're talked about some other type of doctrine, maybe some unsound doctrine, we know that there's something just not right there. We you know, a little red flag goes up. Why should Christ's death and resurrection matter? I mean, we need to know this. Jesus, the only way. Why can't we be good enough? Why is Jesus the only way? Faith in what God has done for us. Again, why can't I be good enough? Why can't I serve God enough and just that's it? My belief in God, my hope, my future. Jesus is coming again, and He promised not to forsake those who have put their trust in Him. Why is that so important? We need to know this. What must I do to be saved, and why? This is the sound. This is, like I say, great basic truths that all believers should be aspiring to know. I mean, we should know them. Why, give a reason for our hope. This is the reason for our hope. All of these questions can be answered in our Creator's owner's manual. That's why He wants us to get in there to study it. That's why we're in here reading it daily. That it's just like work. I mean, we're working our minds and our hearts toward His word. What does it say about our Creator? It's all in our Creator's owner's manual, the Bible. True teaching, sound instruction, sound doctrine. We could add a lot more, but basically, why or how can we call ourselves born-again Christians, children of the true and one living God? You know, we need to have this sound doctrine in our lives daily, so that we know. Again, in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul is now telling Titus how to speak and in turn living out what he's teaching. If you're talking and teaching sound scripture, sound doctrine, your life should be showing right, true, godly living. Talking the talk, walking the walk. It isn't just the elders, as we read in chapter 1, verse 9. In chapter 2, it's us. We should be holding fast the faithful word and all the qualifications in the right living that we should be aspiring to. Every believer should be aspiring to the qualities of both these chapters, both chapter 1 and chapter 2. To hold fast means to adhere to, cling to, be devoted to. So let me take you forward to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let's turn there for a second. All set? 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I got the other translation, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Know why you've been saved. Know why did Jesus have to go to the cross for you? How did, you know, what does his resurrection all mean? If we are to mature in God's word, we must long, adhere to, cling to, be devoted to, hold fast to it. The phrase hold fast implies not only believing God's word to be true, but also doing what it says by applying the scriptural truths to our everyday lives. If we're not grounded, like I was saying before, if we're not grounded in scripture, we'll unknowingly accept philosophies and teachings that will lead us astray. That knock on the door on Saturday morning by the guys in the nice white shirt and the ties, and they say, how do you know what they're talking to you through the doorway there? How do you recognize that, wait a minute, something's just not right? But when biblical truth has saturated our minds and our hearts, we will sense a red flag pop up in our spirit whenever we encounter an erroneous concept, unsound doctrine. Okay? This discernment, God's given us His Holy Spirit to help us understand God and His Word, and in turn, we live that out daily, and we know, we get that discernment, we get that red flag pop up whenever something doesn't sound quite right here. And if we're not sure of it, where do we go for the instructions? Where do we go to find out, you know, what's right and what's wrong? And that's God's Word. Yeah, that's our owner's manual. How do we recognize sound doctrine? How do we recognize the truth? We combine correct knowledge and understanding of, again, of God's Scripture, of God's Word, with consistent practice. We're putting our walk to our talk. These attributes that we're aspiring, living for, being sober-minded, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, are the results of us living out sound truth, sound teaching, sound doctrine. It must be found in the Bible, keep Jesus central, result in consistently good behavior and actions, and promote spiritual health in ourselves and others.
Amen.
Yeah. A consistent, again, this is taking it all in, a consistent intake of Scripture is essential for our spiritual growth. And it enables us to distinguish, again, between truth and error, unsound doctrine and sound doctrine, erroneous teaching and true. The Bible is called the faithful word because it's reliable and true. The word of God is a means by which those who hold fast to it can exhort in sound doctrine and refute, convict those who contradict. You know, you hear somebody and it's like, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. God's word says this. It's like we need to be able to show that. We need to be able to know that. Let's go back to the left now, back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 10 through 17. All there? Okay. Yep. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. This is, again, Paul in his letter to Timothy. Long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me.
Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Here he's talking to Timothy. There's more to Timothy than just Timothy was brought up by godly grandmother and mother, right? All Scripture is given. This is our point here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the man of God, us, all of us, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In these verses, Paul is describing to Timothy how sound doctrine is profitable for us. There's something here. There's something that pays off for us if we're following God's word. Here Paul describes four ways. In teaching, the Bible has all the divine truth God wants us to know. From Scripture, we deepen our relationship with the Lord, see life from His perspective, and understand how He wants us to live. And number two, reproof. God's word is a light that reveals our sins and a sword that pierces and convicts us so that we can confess and receive forgiveness. Number three, correction. Scripture restores and points us to living, to godly living in obedience. And number four, training in righteousness. To the Word of God trains us to stay on the path of righteousness and mature spiritually. The end result is a life adequately equipped to live as God desires, to live as God desires us to live. These qualities, both these chapters, these qualities that we're aspiring to live out in our daily walk with Christ are the result, the byproduct. They're the fruits of it. If you're walking the walk, you know, because you've been talking the talk about the Scripture, the fruits of it, of sound doctrine, of God's Word, is our life, is our daily life. People are watching us. People are seeing. It's like the, you know, what we're doing, how we're behaving, you know, how are we patient? Are we loving? Are we kind? Are we sober-minded? God's Word, it's why we believe what we believe. Sound doctrine. It's what, and I'll close with this. God's Word is a compass for our life, not something we read occasionally. It's nutrition for spiritual growth, a guide for life, protection from sin and error, and a means of knowing God better. With so much to gain, why would you ever neglect God's precious gift to us? Okay? And just the last, to some people, this is just a book. But for us, believers in God's Word, it's essential and life-changing. So, thank you, folks. Thank you. Let me just close real quick in prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for allowing me to be your voice, Lord. May all the glory and honor be yours. And again, may a blessing go about to everybody here tonight and guide us home safely. And just again, Lord, thank you for being an awesome, good, loving God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.